You ready?
Yep.
Kevin, you good?
Ready to go.
All right, we're going to go ahead and call this meeting to order. It's a regular scheduled November 12th, Westminster City Council meeting. I want to thank everybody for coming. I know we've had time change and it's dark, but hopefully we can get through this in pretty quick tonight. First, I want to certify a quorum. And then stand for the invocation and the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
As many of you know, our city clerk Rebecca's husband is beginning the end of his life as we speak. So we are going to take a moment and start our invocation in a time of silence. God, you are the author and giver of life. And as we gather here tonight with heavy hearts for Rebecca and Travis and their family, may your presence be as palpable to us as we are confident it is to them. God, direct and guide all of our hearts, all of our thoughts, all of our words, and all of our actions, so that we bring glory and honor to you. That we remember what is most important, and that is shining your light in this community and for this community that we love so much. In your name we pray, that all God's people say.
Amen.
Amen.
Salute the flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And I do ask that y'all be in prayer for our administration and our staff. With this going on with Rebecca's husband, they're one big family, so they're dealing with this as well. So it's going to be a tough few days. At this time, we're going to go ahead and start the special recognitions. First is a proclamation celebrating the completion of the Westminster Senior Center. And Ms. Davey has asked to read this. So Ms. Kaywood, there you are. Would you please join us? There you go.
He's the reason for the building, okay?
Yes, ma'am.
Y'all, one thing on that side of me, one thing on that side of me. It's with great joy. A proclamation celebrating the Westminster Senior Center. Whereas the City of Westminster recognizes its senior citizens as, I would say, the most valuable members of the community. And whereas the Westminster Senior Outreach hosted the grand opening of the new Westminster Senior Center on October 10th, 2024, and whereas the building has been named the Westminster Senior Center and the Senior Outreach will be known as the A.T. Kaywood Senior Outreach in recognition of the legacy of the late A.T. Kaywood's efforts to build a new senior center. And whereas Ms. Judy Kaywood championed this project and saw it through to its completion. And whereas the new building was funded by a grant from the South Carolina Council on Aging and the South Carolina Budget Appropriation. And whereas contractor Kevin Moore of KM Services went far above and beyond to ensure that this wonderful building was complete in a timely and budget-conscious manner. And whereas the addition of Westminster Senior Center will be gathering space for the citizens of Westminster for years to come. Now therefore, on behalf of the City Council and citizens of the City of Westminster, we hereby honor and celebrate the Westminster Senior Center and A.T. Kaywood Senior Outreach.
Oh, Jimmy.
He's afraid I'll argue with
you. There you go.
We'll let her say.
Okay, you say what you want to say.
Just thanks to all of you for this.
And most of all, to keep it. Yes, AT and I had the vision for this building for 3 long years. But it wasn't until I met this man that it took life. We got the grants, but he added life to it. And it just would not be what it is without him. We got along so well, didn't we?
Oh, absolutely. Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am. That's it.
That's the reason. But it's just been a pleasure to work with Kevin and with Kate, his wife. She kept us straight on money, or tried to, didn't she? And so we appreciate her for that. But thank all of you, and please spread the word about our senior center. It's just across the parking lot from the church, and it's just a wonderful, beautiful building, the best in Westminster, right?
We think so.
So thank you all, okay?
Turn your
show off here.
Turn it around. There you go. Close my lights for a minute. Okay.
Awesome. Y'all are great. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Now we have one more. We have another state champion in Westminster. I'm going to read this, and then I'm going to ask each one of you to come up. We'll hand you one. I'll call your name and hand you one. If you would stand up front, we'll get a picture of everybody. Is that good? And we really appreciate our young athletes. I mean, this is great tonight. You know, we're celebrating our seniors. We're also celebrating our youth. And it means a lot to see the town getting some attention on both ends of that spectrum. This proclamation honoring the state champions Foothills Christian School volleyball team, whereas Foothills Christian School Flame varsity volleyball team won the 2024 SCACS 1A state tournament, and whereas the city of Westminster is extremely proud to be the home of the Foothills Christian School Flame, and whereas the Lady Flame completed a perfect 11-0 season, going undefeated in the regular season, and whereas Foothills Christian School defeated Union Christian Day School on October 26, 2024 to win the state tournament and the title of state champions, and whereas the team is coached by coaches Austin and Amber Miller, now therefore by virtue of authority invested in me as mayor and on behalf of the city council and citizens of the city of Westminster, I hereby honor and celebrate Foothills Christian School varsity volleyball team for their accomplishments and the dedication and support of their coaches and parents, and in appreciation of the hard work of all the players, coaches, and staff during the 2024 volleyball playing season. In witness whereof, I have hereunto set my hand and caused the seal of the city of Westminster to be affixed. And thank you for letting us know this. You've got some basketball teams that have won too, right? We didn't know about it. Yeah, we didn't know about it. All right, if you will, I'll call your name. Come pick one of these up, please, and stay up front for a photo. Jaden Beek. Marissa Baylor. Abby Graver. Sandy Hotseller. Kelly Coffin. Kelly Coffin. Yeah, we'll get behind you. And now that you hold it.
How about that? Get the ugliest fellas behind you.
Can you get everybody? We need to squeeze them in.
Dave, you're in a good window. Okay. Everyone's in a good window. Awesome. That's a picture of me. Awesome. One, two, take a couple. All right. That's not going to work. All right. Good job, guys.
Thank you all.
Thank you. You want to get one of the
one that wasn't here.
Thank you.
You got one that didn't make it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I have the frame copy.
Yeah, you can get the frame copy. Don't write down my email address. I don't send it to
you. Do we have anybody here from the DAR?
Yes.
Okay. We have another one tonight.
Yes.
Yes, ma'am. Your name?
Is Nora Field.
Nora Field.
And I'm the chapter treasurer for the Lily Bowen chapter in Seneca. Mm-hmm. And I think this was sent to you by the state literacy chair.
Yes,
South
ma'am.
South Carolina State DAR.
All right, well, we're going to officiate it right now. This proclamation designating November as National Family Literacy Month, whereas November was designated National Family Literacy Month by Congress in 1994, and this year now marks its 30th anniversary, highlighting the importance of reading and learning for the entire family. And whereas throughout November, literacy promotion is celebrated across America each year. And whereas the city recognizes the importance of reading and learning for the entire family and emphasizing the impact that parents have on their child's learning. And whereas as many as 1 in 6 adults struggle with reading and writing, and by learning to read, individuals can gain confidence and strive toward goals that otherwise would not be achievable. And whereas the Lily McElhaney Bowen Chapter of the National Society, Daughters of the American Revolution, is a volunteer women's service organization that has championed this cause in Oconee County. Now, therefore, by virtue of the authority invested in me as mayor and on behalf of the city council and citizens of the city of Westminster, I hereby designate November as National Family Literacy Month.
Thank you so much. Getting ready for our 250th anniversary.
250.
250. Wow. Coming up.
That's great.
Good. Let's get a quick picture.
Okay.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you. And thank you so much.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you for coming. All right, do we have anyone sign up for public comments? None? Comments from mayor and council.
I'd like to congratulate our town for Boo on Main. Thank you all so much. I think it was a great success, a lot of fun, a lot of people paying, a lot of candy giving out. So thank you.
Thank you. It was a good night. Anyone else? All right, just a quick update on this is not on the city side, but on the roadside for the Chauga Bridge replacement. I got a call today that the contract was let. They do have a contractor now, it's verbal, nothing on paper, but they are expediting the process. Hopefully, you know, we'll see something start pretty soon on that. And the reason that's a big deal to Westminster, I went to the convenience store down below my office and just randomly asked her, I said, how's business been? She said, we're down by about 10 grand. I said, really? She said, in 1 week. Just 1 week. And all they can contribute it to is just the bridge is out. Everybody's detouring around. So that's going to make an impact on us. And that's something I think we need to encourage people to shop local as much as we can, because when you come down from 76 from the Long Creek, Holly Springs area, and go through all those little curvy roads that everybody's complaining about, it's just as quick to run to Tocoa or Clayton. And a lot of people are taking Cobbs Bridge Road to go to Seneca instead of coming through town. So this might impact us a great deal. We just need to try to encourage everybody we can to hang in there with us as long as they can. Anything else? All right, we'll move on to routine business. Comments from the utility director. Mr. Parrish. Chauga Bridge.
Part two. As the mayor said, we were told Friday that they have awarded a contract. They have a design team and a construction team. And they've got their surveyors there. Saw those guys there Friday. They were back there yesterday, today. Answered a few questions for them, but we are doing our best to stay a couple steps ahead of them with our bypass water line. So they don't yet have a definite plan for the new bridge. They know it's going to be wider, it's going to be longer. They don't know if it's going to be in the exact same location, if they're going to shift it one way or another, upstream, downstream. So we do have another call with them Thursday. Hopefully we'll have more details. We have a really rough preliminary plan right now, and it shows it in the same footprint as the original bridge. They are looking to take out the 1928 bridge once the project's complete. But they're back and forth on that, so that is where our water line sits now, our bypass line. So there may have to be some adjustments on the bypass line, depending on if they move the new bridge downstream. So we'll keep you up to date on that. But so far, everything is moving quickly. They plan to have the new bridge open by June, sometime in June.
Oh, yeah.
So they got a lot of work to do between now and then. Also, one of our other projects is the Airland Farms subdivision water and sewer. The sewer on that was about 70% complete. Contractors had a couple of minor snags, but they worked right through those, and we went right along with it, so they're making good progress. Our SCIP project, our big sewer project going on currently, those guys have really got a lot going. They've got a lot of right-of-way clearing done. They've got several manholes, about over 800 feet pipe in the ground now on the replacement. And this is a slow process because they actually have to go in and install a bypass pump and line for it so they can work in certain sections. So there's a lot of setup. Take out the old pipe, put in new pipe. It's just slow going. But even with that, they've made really good progress. So working closely with those guys. And also our lead and copper inventory. Just a little background. The EPA, in light of things that happened in Flint, Michigan, has come up with new regulations where each water system has to verify whether any of their service lines, any of their main lines, have anything considered a lead service line in the system. So that means going back to the very start of the system. If there has ever been any evidence or any lead service line discovered, those have to be known. So there's been a lot of time invested in this project. It's been going on for a while, but the final report or the initial count was done was due in October. And just to give you an idea, we were able to eliminate some of these because of dates of installation. That's one thing that's allowed. So that took several of them off the record for having potential of a lead service line. And then it got down to having to actually physically dig up at the meter box to see what the city service is and what the customer service going to the home is. And from that, the guys did approximately 800 of these within a month. They were hustling. They were doing this 2 or 3 days a week, and they made some really good time with it. The weather just cooperated a lot with that. So that was the physical verification of what was on the ground. Some that we, if we would not have been able to identify what these service lines were made of, we would have had to send out a letter to the customer telling them that there may be a potential that their service line has lead. And as part of that, the EPA required a letter of recommendation to have the children tested for lead poisoning. It went into great detail. So our plan was to eliminate as many of these as we could so we didn't have to send those letters out. Chris Todd put a lot of time in doing research on old minutes from CPW days, council meetings, all of that. And out of the entire system, narrowed it down to 37 services that had galvanized pipe. So then he did more digging on, again, through the records and was able to, with some, basically some in-house modeling of other services and installation times of these lines, and seeing the approval of installation and the minutes to tie time to it, he was able to eliminate those 37 services. So all that said, we don't have to send out any of the EPA required letters to state there may be a chance of lead in your system. And I think that's a huge accomplishment. The guys deserve a good pat on the back for that, because there's a lot of work and time went in, and Chris led that charge, so he did a great job. And I'm glad they were able to get that done, because I think that would have caused a lot of confusion because of the mandated wording. even though from the start we were 99% certain there were no dead services in the system. Anyone have any questions on that?
Great job. I was afraid this is going to take a long time.
It took a lot of time, a lot of effort went into it.
But I'm thinking, I thought we'd end up with a lot more than that, so that's good. I mean, we're done.
We're clear? Yeah, for this first round, we are done.
Yeah. Great.
I'm proud of you. Great job.
Great job.
Any
questions?
Good.
Thank you, Scott.
All right, next comments from the city administrator, Mr. Bronson.
Yes, sir, Mayor and Council. First, I'd like to take just a second and ask Chief Miller if he would introduce two of our newest officers.
So, as you know, we've in a rebuilding phase here at the police department. I was able to, our first new hire to uncertify is Trevor Osterbrink. I stole him from Mayor Rainey. he's going to be very good. He is in his last phase of pre-academy, which you have to go 4 weeks of, so this is his last phase. Hopefully, if he doesn't mess up, we'll be able to send him to the academy sometime in December or first of the year. Then I have someone beg me from Greenville to come down, so I brought him down. This is what you get when you supervise good people. So David Harrison, he comes for us from Greenville County. He has over 23 years of experience. Started out here in Coney County with Howard Patrol, and then he went to Greenville. I don't know why, but now he wants to come back. He's been great here. He's hit the ground running. We have been in a process for the past maybe month, even when he came, to revamp our evidence room. We had evidence stored from 1989 that we don't know where it comes from and what happened, what's what. So him and Lieutenant Merck has done a wonderful job of cleaning that up. We was able to burn a lot of it. Now we have another 2 days or so, another week. We also have a new evidence program system. Everything's on computer now, barcode scanner, so we worked very hard to get that, and we're thankful that, you know, the city administrator let me purchase it, because it's going to modernize our department 100%. And December 2nd, we will have our second uncertified to start. So that leaves us one down. We had interviews Friday. We had 9 applications, 7 showed up. Okay. So we're in the process of, we got, 4 testing, and one is already certified. Okay. But there's some logistics around that, as far as she's coming from Pickens City, if we take her, and she don't quite have 2 years experience yet. So we're still working on that, but out of these 4 candidates, I think we'll, by January 1st, probably full staff.
Good deal.
Yay, congratulations.
So. Welcome, you guys. Glad to have you on board.
Thank you, y'all.
Appreciate you coming.
Hey, Chief. You mentioned something about radar certifications on everybody. Is that still going ahead?
Yeah, we will get everybody radar certified and taking the class for LIDAR, and hopefully in December.
Welcome, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, Mayor, moving on to the special events discussion. Ray and I are going to bounce back and forth on a few of these. Just a reminder to you and the council, on December 6th, that'll be a big day. We'll have Arbor Day celebration. Give us a chance to plant some trees back after some of those we lost from Helene. We will be using money that we received from PMPA to purchase the trees to plant. We'll probably have a small ceremony like we've done in the past in the afternoon, probably around either lunch or 2 o'clock. You want Christmas?
Everyone's favorite time of year, Christmas, is quickly approaching. So as staff, we've done a couple things to begin to prepare for that already. The first thing is our Christmas decorations are scheduled to go up the week before Thanksgiving, beginning on Monday the 25th. If that's not fully complete by the 27th, we have another week before our Christmas parade, which is December 6th. So that week before Thanksgiving and maybe a day or two into that next week, we plan to have our Christmas decorations up, our tree will be up in our Tree Street Park. We hope to build on some more decorations from last year. We have also opened up our sign-ups for the parade. We're encouraging all of our participants to sign up this year. We know that's something a little bit newer, so we're certainly working with the community to make sure that gets done. We have paper copies for sign-up in City Hall as well. That way we can better be prepared and have a count for who's going to participate, the types of floats and participants, things like that. And then the parade itself will be December 6th, 6 p.m. We'll be starting in the parking lot, I guess sort of adjacent to Ingalls and the Dollar Tree parking lot behind Methodist Church. We wind up in pastor parades. Through Main Street, and then once all the parade clears out and it's safe to do so, we'll open up that space as a lit-up festival space for our tree lighting, which we'll do immediately following that. So that'll be Friday evening this year, back to what traditionally has been in Westminster. We will also be doing a window decorating contest. Stephanie and Kylie, I believe you do as well, agreed to help judge that, and so we don't have all the details for that yet, but that'll be coming forthcoming on our website, Facebook, and any other chance I've done it, I'll make sure to let them know as we finalize those details. Any questions about Christmas this year?
Are you taking volunteers to help you out as far, because that's an undertaking?
We can if we need to. We think we have a good plan in place. Okay. If there's a desire for volunteers or reach out, they're always welcome. I think Westminster's always had a great, we've always allowed volunteers to help participate and install decorations for different holidays. So as long as they communicate with us, we'll be more than happy to allow them to have that be a part of our Christmas traditions. And then the next item is in 2025, the city will be celebrating its, I'm going to read this so I say it right, Susquehanna 150th birthday.
And, I'll give you the pass.
We have a couple of ideas that we're working on. One will be a bigger celebration in March, which is our actual birthday. And we'll release details as we get a little bit closer to that and what we're working on. We also hope to partner with different community organizations throughout the year to try to, one, involve members of the community, whether it be nonprofits, businesses, who are important to who we are in Westminster. Let them maybe host an event 1 month. And the idea is we have several throughout the course of the year. We have some additional plans to get some a little bit of branding for that, not a whole lot, but a little bit. And we're looking forward to a great year of celebration. We only turned 150 one time, so we're excited to get that started and kick it off in March. And once again, we'll share those details as soon as they're finalized and concrete enough. We can show the public. Moving on from special events, we just wanted to begin a discussion with you all. Mr. Truman Holbrooks has served on Planning Commission for a long time, certainly as long as I've been here, and I think as long as Kevin's been here as well. And Mr. Holbrooks, let me know, he does not plan to renew his term on Planning Commission. He expires in 2024. So we're just letting you know now, because in December we'll be asking you to, if you have any nominations, to provide them in December so we can get them sworn in at our January meeting. If you remember last year, we went through a couple
Truman
of these.
Holbrooks.
We just want to make sure we're staying on top of it. And he'll, his term will expire in 24, looking to replace someone in January. So just think about that through the next month.
30 days, because you're going to have a nomination through December.
Yes,
correct.
Ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
So we should probably make sure that whoever we're nominating understands the time commitment, what it entails, that type of thing, right?
Yes, and you can always point them to me if they want to talk about it, or if you have questions for me about my criteria that live in city limits.
Okay.
or at least relatively invested in, I guess, our land and planning land use for our city.
All right, and then under other, I have two items. One, Mammoth Construction began mobilizing on the Hall Road site today. So they dropped off a piece of equipment and began setting their GPS equipment up, and we expect that they will be out moving trees and dirt very likely by the end of the week. So it's been a long time coming. I spoke to Herb Poole today, and he almost couldn't talk. He was so excited. And also, we put this in the administrative report last time, but I think it was important that we amplify it here. We have advertised for the city attorney position. We advertised for that position on the city website, on the Municipal Association website, and with the South Carolina Bar Association. So we have those applications coming in. We left that open-ended. If we get a group of four or five, there probably is a time at which U.S. Council will have to review those. That could be as early as your December meeting. So we may have something for you. I hope you have something to see by then. So we'll keep you posted on that. And Mayor, that is all I have under my comments.
Any questions for the administrator? All right, move on to item 6, approval of the October 8 regular meeting minutes. You have those in your packet. We need a motion.
Second.
Any discussion or questions? Call for vote, please.
Yes.
Danny?
Yes.
Yes. Brian?
Yes, ma'am.
Dale? Jimmy, I'm sorry.
Yes.
Dale?
Yes.
Yes, ma'am.
All right, next, under old business, consider the second reading of the 6th supplemental ordinance number 2024-11-12-01. Do we have a motion?
Second.
Motion is second. Mr. Bronson.
Yes, sir. Mayor, Council, at your last meeting, we had in front of you what is termed the 6th supplemental bond ordinance. This is the ordinance that allows us to use the USDA funds to put in the water lines that we've now completed, that Scott's now redoing over the bridge. Very little of the language changed. If you'd like to have a red line copy of the changes to the ordinance, I'll get that for you. Mostly what changed is what the attorneys call NITs, where in the ordinance it did list 2024A. The A has been struck from each reference and it now just says 2024. It also included some cleanup language that references the USDA Rural Development Office. They have the right to, if the city plans to issue any future debt, as long as we have this debt outstanding, the USDA has to consent to that. It's pretty routine. We knew that going in up front, but that language is now reflected in the bond ordinance so that it pleases your bond council. Mike Burns with Burr Foreman is the one who wrote this. I'm happy to bring them in if you have any questions for that. Staff recommends approval as a
Any questions? Call for vote, please.
Dayton?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, ma'am.
Jimmy?
Yes.
Dale?
Yes, ma'am.
Adam?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. Under new business, consider the first reading ordinance 2024-12-10-01. This amends the section 151.018 city zoning ordinance. Do we have a motion?
Motion to approve ordinance 2024-12-10-01.
Motion is second. Go ahead, Mr. Brunson.
I'm going to turn this over to Ray.
Yes, sir. Mr. Mayor, Council, recently we annexed in several parcels. You guys approved those. As part of that process, we realized that we our structure currently brings those in as R25 farmer zoning districts. That does not always immediately reflect what that district should be. So then we take it back to the Planning Commission for a second hearing, and then you all would need two additional readings of the ordinance to rezone it. The goal of this is to simply streamline that to do that in one action. So the plan, what we're recommending is the Planning Commission review both the annexation and assigning a zoning classification in one meeting. That keeps them from having to consider the same parcels twice in a, I guess, back-to-back months, if you will. That also prevents you from having to do two readings of an ordinance, additionally to rezone it after you annex it in.
Yes. Clarification. We would still have two readings on it.
You would. You would not
but
have
we
two
would
additional
not have
readings.
Four readings on
correct.
It.
That's correct.
Okay.
The goal is to save both you as council, the Planning Commission, and staff time making sure that this is a streamlined process. We had our attorney, C.D. Road Folk Flynn, draft up this ordinance. They approved it. I would also like to point out that we did this a little bit out of sequence. Generally, we present these to the Planning Commission first once the zoning ordinance. Due to a lack of quorum, they did not meet in November. So we ask that you still consider it. They will host the public hearing for this and give a recommendation at its November meeting. And then when you have second reading in December, you'll have the ability to then consider that recommendation and make a final approval.
Sure.
And that's allowed by state law to do it in that sequencing. It's just not how we traditionally do it. But I do ask that if you're willing to make that consideration, staff recommends approval. Okay.
Is there any benefit at all to doing it twice? I mean, having two meetings the way we've been doing it. Is there any reason we shouldn't do that?
No, and I give Reagan credit for catching this. I wish we had caught this when we did the zoning ordinance rewrite.
Mm-hmm.
It was just we had so much going in. I think the streamlined approach is the best way. Anytime you annex property into the city, if somebody wants to have it zoned so that they can use it and they're not in some limbo between Planning Commission's first hearing on it and you doing that final, this cuts that out.
Mm-hmm.
And if anybody wants to, as it's annexed, it's zoned in any particular district and they want to come back later, this doesn't prohibit them from coming back to ask for additional zoning. So it's, in essence, the process Reagan has put in here is, in my opinion, a kind of a win-win for everybody. Or three wins, a win for the property owner, the Planning Commission.
Good job, Reagan.
Good
catch. Anybody have anything else? Call for a vote, please.
Ruth?
Yes.
Yes, ma'am.
Jimmy?
Yes.
Dale?
Yes, ma'am.
Adam?
Yes, ma'am.
Audrey?
Yes.
David?
Yes.
Next, item 9, consider first reading ordinance 2024-12-10-02. This rezones a certain parcel in the city from R15 to R6. Do we have a motion?
Second.
Motion is second. Go ahead, Drake. I'm assuming you got this one.
Yes, sir, Mr. Mayor. If you recall, a couple months ago, we went through several readings to sell the property at 115 Riley Street to Mr. Josh Thomas of Thomas & Crane, our real estate. They have requested a rezoning to R6, which is your 6,000 square foot lot designation. And he would like to build four homes. Those proposed layouts and home, I guess, designs are attached in your agenda packet. He requests that we go ahead and rezone that to R6. The increased density of the zoning designation is consistent with the multifamily residential across the street, as well as the federally supported HUD homes across the street as well. And we don't believe that it conflicts with any portions of our comprehensive plan, which calls for additional and more diverse housing in the city of Westminster. Staff recommends approval. Once again, we put this on your agenda tonight, but the Planning Commission did not meet in November to consider this. They would consider it at their November meeting and bring it back, their recommendation to you by second, for your second reading to consider. I recommend that you approve it tonight and give them the opportunity to give input on it for second reading, and that's when you make, I guess, if you will, a final determination on it.
Any questions?
I've got two. Maybe you'll answer the second one with the first one. Can you tell me the difference between R15 and R6? Because the parenthetical explanation is one family residential to one family residential, so I don't understand.
Yes, ma'am. The only difference is the lot size. So 15,000 square foot is what it's currently designated as, which will allow for three homes to be built on that property space they have. R6 is 6,000 square foot lot designation, which would allow for four properties to be built on that.
And according to these drawings, he wants to put four houses on that lot?
That's what he has proposed to us.
Reagan, on the map, we don't have R6 color-coded. How many more R6s do we have in the area, or do we have any?
That was a new zoning designation, and we have only approved one of those R6s. That was this, I believe, Southampton Street property that we recently rezoned.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the only one in the city at this time that we have. Anytime you're on a new zoning designation, most likely you're not, unless you're bringing in large groups of parcels together, you're most likely not going to have other ones nearby to reference.
Any more questions? Call for a vote.
Brian?
Yes, ma'am.
Jimmy?
No.
Dale?
Yes, ma'am.
Adam?
Yes, ma'am.
Audrey?
No.
Baby?
Yes.
Ruth?
Yes.
Next, move to item 10. Consider legal services agreement with Burr Foreman for legal services relating to the million dollar USDA loan.
Yeah.
I think we missed some words right there, didn't we?
My mistake. It should be the $8.705 million.
Yeah.
I'll accept responsibility. It's really Reagan's fault. Mayor and Council, back when we put together the USDA loan, you had to approve a schedule of expenditures for the loan, and that includes some administrative costs that we had, legal costs that we had, and then of course what the contractor costs were. At the time, we had two different groups reviewing the legal documents. One was a city attorney and one was the bond counsel. Bond counsel Burr Foreman, the city attorney was Andrew Holliday. When we sever ties with Andrew Holliday, we still need to have that review done. It's the difference between the two legal reviews. One, Burr Foreman was reviewing the actual bond documents where you just redid the bond ordinance and the language of the conditions USDA gave us. What Andrew would have done would have been review the actual as-built to determine and give an opinion that we stayed within the right-of-ways, whether or not we had to purchase any additional property or not. We didn't have to purchase any additional property. Troy Rozier did a great job of making sure we stayed within existing right-of-ways. Anyway, you have to have an attorney review that and certify it on top of what your engineer provides you. That's the requirement. Would have been for any bond entity, but in particular for USDA. Our original budget for all legal services was $75,000. I believe it was $35,000 going to Burr Foreman, and the $40,000 would have gone to Holliday. Burr Foreman has agreed to keep the price that we would have paid Holliday, even though their price per hour is different. By sticking with the $75,000, which is what we approved, what we agreed to do in the beginning, there isn't any additional action that the USDA has to take, but they do want to know that you are agreeable to Burr Foreman doing that right-of-way legal review for the city's behalf. So that is why, if you approve this, I will sign it, consenting to that you have consented to USDA for this legal services contract to be all with Burr Foreman Group. And for what it's worth, right now, the last stage before we convert the temporary financing which we have with our band to go into repayment with USDA is this legal review, and we are expecting that to be done by mid-December. I don't anticipate there's any additional action that you will have to take for us to close those deals.
And when do the payments start? When do the payments start?
The payments will start either 60 or 90 days after that closing.
And they were how much?
So an annual payment is around $300,000. So it's very likely in this fiscal year we would pay about half of that. We budgeted the full amount to pay for this year. So we'll be within budget.
Any questions? We didn't get a motion on that one before you started, I don't think, did we? We need a motion, a second.
I'll make a motion to approve.
Second.
Call for vote, please.
Jamie?
Yes.
Dale?
Yes, ma'am.
Adam?
Yes, ma'am.
Audrey?
Yep.
Amy?
Yes.
Ruth?
Yes.
Brian?
Yes, ma'am. All right, item number 11, consideration of the updated City of Westminster water policies. Sewer Supervisor Chris Todd, he's not here.
No, we're going to have Reagan do that one, Mayor.
Okay.
Reagan has written most of these.
Oh, okay, I thought you had it, he was going to give us.
Yes, sir, Mr. Mayor and Council. As you know, Chris Todd, our Water and Sewer Supervisor, came on a few months ago, and he's been phenomenal in helping us update a lot of our policies to really be at the best practices and current standards. Give him a lot of credit for that. One of the things he's done is update all of our, most of our operating procedures, handbooks, manuals, processes, etc. He's done a great job staying on top of that. He brought those to us as administration. I reviewed them. Scott, our utility director, has signed off on them. We believe that there really are strong policies for our water department. As best practice, we like to have you all just consent, agree to adopt them, just to give it some additional strength and some additional oomph behind it, if you will. So, we're going to present these to you. Scott Paris, our utility director, can answer the technical questions that I cannot. So we're here at your disposal if you have any specific questions you have. But we're recommending that you adopt or approve the standard operating procedures, the flushing program policy, the fire hydrant flow and maintenance policy, and our cross-connection control policy. And those are four things that Chris has worked very hard on and that administration has also supported.
I'm sure we've all read through all of these.
All 67 pages.
Do you have any questions?
I appreciate that work. Thank you very much.
Anybody have any questions? All right, we need a motion.
So moved.
Second.
Call for a vote, please.
Dale?
Yes, ma'am.
Adam?
Yes.
Audrey?
Yep.
Sandy?
Yes.
Ruth?
Yes.
Brian?
Yes, ma'am.
Jamie?
Yes.
Next up, and thank y'all for doing that. I know that's a lot of work,
a lot of
detail work. We do appreciate that. Next, item 12, discuss the OJRSA rate study. Mr. Brunson.
Yes, sir, Mayor, and this is just a discussion item. I'm not asking you to take any action tonight, just to give staff guidance. I believe all of you are aware that the OJRSA received what is called a regional planning study grant, and that was to evaluate a new governance model for the OJRSA. That is well underway. A committee has been formed now to go in and put together new governance documents and to set new guidelines on how the OJRSA will look going forward in the future. Westminster's representative is Mr. Scott Paris, so we appreciate him being willing to serve on that committee. They got a lot of work to slog through. Also, part of that planning study is the OJRSA is requiring, I say requiring is maybe a little bit harsh language, but they are expecting each of the three cities to do a rate study on what it cost us to provide sewer collection services. We are required, expected to have our rate study completed a little bit after the OJRSA has its completed. As a point of reference, there's some of the work that we would do that we have to wait on them to complete first, because what they do will feed into what the analysis will be on our side. They do require that you have, I'm going to use the phrase certified, although that's probably not the best word, in having a rate analysis done by a company that does this, meaning they don't want staff to do it, and they want to make sure that it's done correctly. What I'm looking for some guidance from you tonight is, I have the exact information that the OJRSA is going to release to do their rate study for. We can do that same thing only on the sewer. Where it's different from us from the OJRSA is we also have water and electric. And you probably all recall that all of our utilities are in a combined utility fund. Mm-hmm. So sewer often does not pay for itself.
Right.
Meaning water and electric contribute to what we actually need to pay for sewer. We can, and I'm going to give you two options, but this is by no means all the options, just the two that are in my mind tonight. We can do an analysis on just the sewer to see what our cost is to serve it and what we should be charging. We could also do a rate analysis on electric, water, and sewer and inform all three of those together. Reagan and I, as we discussed this, he asked, does sanitation need to be included in that? No, it does not, because sanitation is its own fund. So sanitation is garbage collection. So just the three that work together in the combined utility fund. My estimate to you, do you have a question?
Go ahead, you might answer.
My question to you, and my estimate, and this is my estimate, is that this is going to be somewhere between $7,500 and maybe $40,000 to complete. Ideally, we would have enough time to do this after we've budgeted for it in a fiscal year. I do not think we're going to have that much time, which means we're going to have to dig deep and come up with whatever the cost is within our existing budget. The budget this year is going well, but things are tight. But we've also got to keep pace with the OJRSA and our their expectations of us. I expect that we would not have to incur any expenses till after the first of the year. At the same time, I'm looking for some direction from you as to whether or not you want one or all three done. If I'm recommending to you, I'm going to use Reagan's phrase as best practice, it would be that you do all of them together, because they do all work. I mean, they're all very much related. We separate them out in revenue and expenses, but they fund each other. I mean, they're not completely distinct. However, if we get a price back, and let's just say it came in at $80,000, my suggestion would be, let's drop back and just do what we're required and go with that. And we can solicit proposals that do both, but sometimes when I'm a little worried about doing that, that's going to keep some folks from bidding on it that might would if we knew exactly what we're going for. So anyway, I bring that to you for discussion.
Okay, I mean, a lot of questions. I'll try to only ask two. The first one is, I understand that they all sort of fund one another. I get that. But would the results of said rate study not be skewed a little for what the sewer authority is after if we did all three? Do you see what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, and so if we just do sewer, we will be able to give the sewer authority, I think, exactly what it wants. If we just do sewer, I think we're going to have some gaps in our understanding of our own rates. Because if we just look at sewer, I can tell you right now, it doesn't pay for itself.
Right, we talk about that every year.
We take it from water and sewer. So if we do a study that includes all three, then you'll know, using kind of the same methodology, how much should be collected to fund all three of them so that they fund themselves. Does that make sense?
Maybe. It has to percolate and get to the right part of the brain.
I'm a little conflicted as to which way to go. That's why I'm bringing my confliction to you, to get your input.
Whoever does it, can they not break it down in individual, that way we can give OJRSA what they're looking for, and we can also still get what we're looking for?
Right.
Yeah, however, they can break the final data down any way we like.
So we can still satisfy them and get what we're looking for. Yeah. So that's not a...
My biggest hesitation about this whole endeavor is that we didn't budget for it this year. I wasn't expecting that at all to be in that report that we got from the OJRSA. And I don't expect that we're going to have enough time to wait for the next budget year to even begin it.
I mean, just my opinion, we need to see what it's going to cost before we can make a decision to say one way or the other.
Check.
So you're comfortable if we do a solicitation that includes just sewer and one that would include all three?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That would be.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I just don't feel like we have enough. I don't feel like we have enough information because we don't know cost and we don't know kind of pertinent details to be able to even go forward with guidance.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah, maybe we'll get lucky and it'll come in and it'll be affordable. Yeah. I mean, if it's not in the budget, it's never affordable, but you know what I mean.
Well, Kevin did try. I mean, we tried to get to where we could just piggyback off the sewer authority's rate study, but they wouldn't allow that. So,
and that's the reason why each city. We could piggyback with Seneca and Wahala, and they wouldn't allow that either.
They being OJRSA, or they?
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't OJRSA, it was
the
RIA.
Yeah, it was the RIA in Columbia didn't want us mix and match. They thought it would skew results. I disagree, but.
Yeah, I do too. To me, it makes sense.
I feel like we have the potential to skew results because of the way that our system's fun. I guess that was where I was getting with my question, is we have the potential, if it ends up being cheaper for us to do a rate study of all three, in my opinion, that would skew the results that OJRSA is actually looking for.
I don't think so.
Okay. I trust you. You know numbers better than I do.
The rate study would come back and it would show how much we should be charging for sewer, how much we should be charging for water, and how much for electricity.
Y'all don't have to break it down, party style at 7 o'clock.
And that's always good information to have for our community.
Yeah,
to be able to share. Mm-hmm. When rates start changing all around us that we've been studying, it's possible.
When was the last time we had a rate study? Have you found one? We did something back when Mr. Carter was here, and we realized that we wasn't charging enough for anything, nowhere near enough.
I was going to say, I think you did something when Chris Carter was here. Do you remember if you worked on
that? No. But it was scary how much below what we really should be charging we were. So we know it's going to come back the same.
I mean, we talk about it every year. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
Sewer, we undercharge for what it cost us, and yet we are second highest in the upstate.
Mm-hmm.
So
on sewer?
Yes.
Yeah.
There's only one other city in the upstate of South Carolina that charges more per month for sewer than we do.
And that don't need to be in the paper.
Well, when we did our budget, she saw it. If she didn't pick up on it, she's smart. She picked up on it.
And I think ever since I've been here, I mean, the council's decision on the budget every year has not been how much do we need to charge. It's what can our customers stand.
Yeah,
that's kind of where we've been every year on the budget, and we kind of accept the fact we don't charge enough, but we're small.
Yeah.
When you're this small, you have to deal with it.
I get that.
Yeah, so we haven't talked about this in a while, but homes are selling pretty robustly in the Cooper's Mill neighborhood. Well, we put the water and sewer lines in over there. they would generate monthly revenue outside city rates. Scott briefed you on Heirloom Farms. That's well underway. Those are customers in numbers that we'll be adding that we haven't added in that number in a long time. That's going to help. And we also don't know what future opportunities we may have with our sewer system once all of this gets worked out through the OJRSA. There may be an opportunity for us to divest of that sewer system, either to a third party, which means somebody out in the private sector would come in and do it, or hand it over to OJRSA, or we may keep it just like we have it now. But there are a number of ways I could anticipate that would go going forward.
I agree with Adam.
Okay, so we will prepare a solicitation that will include all three with an option to just do sewer and see what we get back.
And hopefully they come out and price it. I mean, I know your hesitation there, but hopefully they will. Fingers crossed. We'll pray about it.
All right, thank you.
Next, discussion regarding the painting of the logo on the Westminster Water Highway 11 tank.
Yeah, Mayor, so, and Council, I'm bringing this back to you because in my tenure here, we have talked about putting that West Oak logo on the Highway 11 water tower. Mm-hmm. And I did go back and research all the minutes, but I recall we had a chance to put it on there, and because of the price, we chose not to. We are getting ready as part of our annual maintenance with the company that we do tower maintenance on. And you all may or may not know that we painted the Apple Tower last year.
Yeah,
we got that painted. Mm-hmm. Well, now it's time to paint the one on Highway 11. Again, I give Chris Todd a lot of credit. He's paying attention to everything that we're doing. He's like, hey, didn't you guys one time talk about putting the logo on? So we did. He got pricing from the contractor. They offered to do quarterly payments of a little less than $1,300 per quarter for a total of a little over $15,000 to put that logo on the Highway 11 tank. That would be in additional to what we're currently paying them for that tank maintenance.
Me and Kylie did the math on it. Sorry I didn't include that. I believe that was, Kylie, correct me, about 110 maybe, give or take, a couple thousand over the course of 3 years. So it's a big chunk of change, but stretched out over 3 years in quarterly payments.
And so we do that tank maintenance anyway. So the question to you tonight is, do you want to have, and it would be on two sides of that tank, the West Oak Warrior logo painted on that tower. If you do, then the cost would be about $1,300 per quarter. I'm guessing that's going to be for about 3 years. If you don't, that's fine. They will paint around the existing Westminster name that's on the tower, leaving it there. They would just paint the outside of the tower fresh.
So this is just a discussion, right? Mm-hmm. You don't need action.
Well, I mean, I'm going to take your discussion, and I need to give the tank guys some direction on what we're going to do.
Okay. I know that this has come up before, and I have heard it in the community because I like to just not have a personal life. I'm now working at the high school with the high school band again, teaching color guard, which is a lot of fun. And the assistant principal there, April Witherspoon, is the one that brought it to my attention the first time. It was like, I don't even know if I was on council when she first brought it up to me. I don't know. And she mentioned maybe trying to get some corporate sponsorships to help pay for it. I feel like if we have an opportunity to do it, it still comes up in the community. So I just feel like if we have an opportunity to do it, can we figure out a way to get it done?
Well, they're up there. Let them do it.
That's kind of how I feel about it.
You know, if they're doing that, to me, they already have all the equipment up there and everything, mm-hmm. and that, yes, there's a cost, and yes, it's all, sponsorships would be great, but that's my idea, is that they're up there.
Kevin, this has been brought up, and we've turned it down every time. But it's never been presented as a three-year payment. I mean, right. If it's $15,000 over 3 years, I'm for it. I mean, I think West Oaks wanted us to do it ever since I've been on council. Right. And if we can do that now for a three-year payment, right. I think you're spending, what, $5,000 a year on the budget?
Yeah. I mean, it's a variable, very workable number.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. But, yeah, it's been turned down every time. Yeah. But it's not been presented this way.
And the tank company did they hold their original price?
It was a little bit higher, but it wasn't significantly higher than what it was a couple years ago.
Yeah, so the price they would have charged versus what they quoted us in the past, they kind of came to the middle. Okay.
Yeah, they get us to do it, and then next time we got to repaint it, they'll triple it.
So are you generally okay, and I can go with just nod heads, head nodding on that. Okay. Scott? Anything else I didn't cover?
Yay, I'm so excited.
Yeah.
I can hold on.
We're getting done.
Well, can you tell us when they anticipate doing the painting?
They're out there now.
They're out there now.
The interior of the tank.
Well, let's not tell anybody and not let the paper tell anybody. Let's just surprise them.
Oh.
She didn't smile when I said that.
It's Christmas time.
Yeah, be a great Christmas present for West Oak.
It would be.
They're probably about 3 weeks away from starting on the exterior. They're starting on the inside, and then they're going to do the outside.
So. But would we have time, December meeting, to get it voted on, or do we need
to? You don't need to vote.
Okay.
This is within what I would call the margin of error I have as your administrator to make those adjustments. Yeah, and Reagan, thank you, Reagan. Our procurement doesn't require that you have to vote
for this threshold, this amount threshold.
Yeah. So we are going to vote on it?
No.
Okay.
You're good. We're going to do it.
Okay.
Scott's going to make them have them get it done.
All right. Thank you all. Next, item 14, discussion regarding the Recreation Center construction contract and the hiring of a third-party project inspector.
Yes, sir, Mayor and Council. At the last Recreation Planning Committee, it was discussed, and Mayor, I know you and Adam in particular were part of that discussion, and some of the council members were there and heard it too. It came up as to whether or not we should have a third-party inspector come in and validate or inspect the work that Mammoth would do in putting the fields together. So I didn't put this on here because I'm recommending it. I'm putting it on here because two council members are on that committee and you talked about it, and I wanted to get direction from you before I go out and solicit pricing. I told you at the beginning of the meeting, Mammoth has already begun mobilizing, and we expect them to start some work before the end of the week. Now would be a good time, if we're going to have a third-party inspector, to get out and find one and get them under contract. I have worked with third-party inspectors before, and I'm sure you've worked with them as well. There's a benefit to it. I think most of the benefit lies when it's what I would call vertical construction, not just land and earthwork. So but I wanted to get your input as to what you wanted staff to
do. So what, and you correct me if I'm wrong, Brian, because I'm trying to recall how that conversation exactly went. It's not necessarily, in my mind, a third-party inspector that we need. I would lean on the county to do that. They should be able to do, inspection-wise, what you're saying. I'm the same way. When you do a third-party inspection, it's pretty much just doing proof rolls. If you're putting down asphalt, it's steel erection, that kind of thing. It's not necessarily building a baseball field. I think what we were talking about in that meeting, in my mind anyway, was somebody to represent us in those meetings, in the OAC meetings. So I guess for progress, for choosing what we need, and we had discussed kind of allowing the committee to do some of that, but I don't think that's really what that committee is for, to pick when they come out there and say, all right, here's the benches you can choose from, or we need to pull something out of this, or I think the conversation come up because we were trying to figure out who's going to do that, who from the city side is going to represent the city at those meetings and be able to go in there and know what they're looking at and what these guys are talking about.
Well, in terms of being able to read the construction plans, the grading plans, now that we have Scott Paris on staff. He's a PE. He's able to... I can give a pretty good general understanding of what those things are, but I'm not an engineer. I'm not PE.
And I don't know if you need an engineer for that. If you got Scott in there, we've got a couple of people from the city that can represent this to go in there and say, hey, this is what we want. I think that was where it was misconstrued. I don't think we were ever really looking, in my mind anyway, for a third-party inspector.
Okay.
Because I don't know what they would look at.
Well, and that was going to be my question to you, because I wasn't sure what they would be looking at either. I mean, they'd come out and say, yeah, they moved 62,000 cubic yards of dirt from this point.
It doesn't benefit us to pay an inspector to do that. It was just more along the lines of who is going to be making the decisions from the city standpoint with those guys moving forward, because there's a lot of little details that hadn't been hacked out yet, and with the committee meetings kind of being as sporadic as they are, I don't know that we can get those questions answered. So somebody's got to make those decisions. I think that was, and Brian, you correct me if I'm wrong, that's where my mind was at in that meeting.
No, that's where we were at, because Herb Poole, if Herb's going to be ecstatic that we're doing anything, and if they come out there and say we're putting these rubber fencing up, Herb's just going to nod and he's tickled to death. You know, we just want to make sure, just like we have Troy Rozier and we have Richard Tucker looking out for our interests, and we've got a contractor working, that somebody's looking out for Westminster, making sure we're getting what we're supposed to be getting. It's a contractor. I mean, we do it for every other big project, and that's what we were concerned with.
So I'm hearing, I think, from at least the two of you, I heard from anybody else, that you don't believe that we need that third party.
No.
Not engineer. It's a design build project, so I don't see that we need it.
Okay. I like the idea of having Scott at the table, though. I mean, in all of your free time.
Oh, yeah.
Put the bridge together and all that. Spend some time on ball fields, too.
Well, ideally, they'll be doing those bi-weekly, I'm sure. Hopefully, they won't take that long, because hopefully they come in and knock it out, do exactly what they say they're going to do, and we can roll on. But you do have to watch at the same time, just to make sure that they're giving us everything that we're paying for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you know, we expect they'll use that, I always call it PICP, that's not the pay app that they do, but we'll validate the quantities and everything that we'll put on there, and I'll have Scott help them with those. Yeah. All right, unless any of you have any additional questions, I've got what I need.
Good.
Could we possibly have a 5-minute recess?
Yes, ma'am.
Five.
Yeah, we got three more things to go with. Yeah. Call for recess.
Call for recess.
Second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
I got time to run the El Charo, get a few tacos, come back.
Yeah.
Tacos Tuesday. Is your daddy over there?
He's living over there.
I thought I was going to be late for this. I was stuck talking to your papa.
I got married in space.
He's so awesome.
No.
How's Jimmy been?
All right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he told us that, but he didn't tell us you got
here. I went down and saw Miss Judy's building today. That's nice, isn't it? Looked good.
He showed me his picture of his
fingers.
I was
on
his
son's ear. You have water?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I do. Huh?
I get coach. I want to let further. No, when we all were out there.
Yeah.
Let
me get you a
how we get the best information and everything.
Yeah, we are.
Jenny, how are you doing?
I'm good.
Really?
Yeah.
Run a big place. Yeah? Well, that's good. You and Sandra to be busy, huh?
Yeah. Got Claudia's house listed today.
Okay. How much did you list before?
200.
Okay. Is that a little bit lower than
I would. It's neat. She, She did had it painted inside. She put new stoves, dishwasher, all that, garbage disposal, refrigerators in good shape. But then you got the floors need sand and hardwoods. If I can pull it up here, I'll show you.